Hey gang, welcome to Dateline Louisiana, a provocative look at the deepest of the deep southern states. Thoughts that are informative, candid, humorous, and sometimes controversial about life in one of the most interesting and rabble-rousing states in the nation. Here are your hosts, Lana Gray and Jim Brown.
Hey, thanks for listening today to our podcast, a new podcast up. I'm Jim Brown, my co-host, Lana Gray. Lana, glad you're joining us today. Glad you're part of all this today. We're going to have a lively discussion today about gambling in Louisiana.
Well, we don't talk about anything boring, and we always talk about what's going on in Louisiana, so you're right. This is going to be a good one.
And I want to tell our listeners, we've had a couple of very lively podcasts in the last few weeks, one on Congress taking over our local school boards. Apparently, that's what Republicans want to do in the Congress. And we also did a very lively show on Donald Trump being indicted and the pros and cons and what the future's like. You'll find all that by going to DatelineLouisiana.com. Rana, I saw a news bulletin here that it was from some national publication saying that Louisiana has more different forms of gambling than any state or any country in the world, any state in the country. I thought, wait a minute, that can't be right. So I got looking, and let me just read you a list of the kind of gambling that goes on in Louisiana right now, the various betting options. You can go to a casino and you can play shoot craps. You got slot machines, bourrée, blackjack, baccarat, the roulette wheel, poker, Texas Hold'em, five cards draw, Omaha Hold'em. I'm not even sure what that is, and the big six wheel. Then you can also choose to shoot pool for money. You can do play the lottery, which in Louisiana right now, I don't know if anybody won in the last week, but if not, Mega Millions up there approaching $400 million. I'd like to win that, but, you know, the odds of me putting a few bucks down and winning are billions and billions to one. I think it's like, I don't know how many millions to one, but a big six wheel you can play. Then you can go and horse racing. You can see the offline track wagering. And then you've got these little casinos all over that you see that have these video poker machines. We've got 43 licensed casinos in Louisiana, 43. And then and after the video folk, and then we've got outlaw cockfighting that, why would you want to see? Well, that's very popular in South Louisiana, and it still goes on all the time. I know friends just love the cockfights, and they tell me it goes on regularly throughout Louisiana. So all these items could be, some of these were outlawed years ago, like the cockfighting, but you've got all these choices. You've got all these choices, and it's the Louisiana's the new mantra for bettors who want to flock here to win all the lottery. This sports betting, you could do it on your phone. And let me tell you how pervasive it is and how wrong it is. LSU is in a contract with a big sports bettor that advertises all the time. That sports betting company got the LSU student body list, and every student got an email from them encouraging them to join them in sports betting. Now, it's against the law to bet unless you're over 21. 17, 18-year-old students all got the same encouragement to bet that LSU supplied to the sports betting. So, and by the way, you and I have a friend, Bob Mann, who's at the LSU. He's an LSU journalism professor, and he made comments. He says it just feels gross and tacky for a university to be encouraging people to engage in behavior that is addictive and very harmful. And so I know a lot of you folks listening out there maybe like to go to the casino occasionally, buy a lottery ticket, and that's what you find in average states. But we have this pervasive form of gambling that goes across the board, and we don't often talk about the dangers, but I want to talk about a little of that today. But are you a big gambler? I've heard some rumors that you're a big high roller, Rana. You're at the casino all the time, right?
You know, I always wish that I would win the lottery, and then I remind myself, you have to buy a ticket to have a chance to win. And I'm one of those people who I don't buy the ticket until the pot gets really big, unfortunately. But no, I'm not a casino gambler at all. You know, I think a lot of this comes from the fact that I grew up in Mississippi. It was a totally different culture than what Louisiana kids grew up on. First of all, we didn't have any bars. We had packaged liquor stores, and very few. Some counties had none. So fortunately, we were close to the Louisiana state line, and everybody we knew when they got ready to have a party drove into Louisiana and bought their liquor for their parties and all. I go to college at LSU, and my friends talk about growing up, and there were local bars they went in and out of as kids with their parents. There was the card games going on in the back rooms, people betting on the tables and all. And it was just foreign to me. So it's a part of Louisiana culture. Bure, you mentioned Bure. I think that's probably almost exclusively from Louisiana. A whole card game.
Here's where it started. That's right.
It started here, and it's one of our things we've exported. But I just didn't grow up with that. I don't have anything against it, but it does seem like we have way too much. And what I would like to say is, why are we doing all this? Because it is addictive. Well, there are arguments being made that we're doing all this to make all this money for the state. Well, where's it going? Because I don't see that since Louisiana has embraced with open arms every form of gambling you just named, we haven't gotten a lot better. Our people aren't healthier. They're not better educated. They're not living longer lives. We're not driving on better roads. Our schools aren't at the top of the list nationally. Where's the money going?
Well, I don't think it's a tremendous, not like it's billions of dollars coming in. And following up what you're saying, Ron, it'd be one thing if the state's gambling obsession was being absorbed into the economy that was ticking with new businesses. It was just an outlet you'd have there, a growing population and improved quality of life. But when you compare such qualities to surrounding states, Louisiana continues, as you said, to be at the bottom of the barrel. And now seems like we've become obsessed with gambling. So,
When you talk about sports betting, it took the state by storm. To Bob Mann's point, there's the flagship university sending it out to every student, whether or not they're of the age, the legal age to gamble.
I think that's criminal, quite frankly. I think the DA could make a case. If they're making some flimsy cases against Donald Trump on a porn star, you could make a case that the university has violated state law by encouraging this form of gambling, quite frankly.
So. And then one of the most beloved first families, the Mannings, you know, have become sort of the face of sports
all over
betting.
As has Drew Brees.
And Drew Brees. I mean, they came in and they hate to say bought, but they hired these
obviously
icons,
paid them a lot of money,
paid them a lot of money
to push the gambling.
To push it on people. And, you know, you want to be like Peyton Manning. And so that's the cool thing to do. And it just is amazing to me. We were a big horse track betting and the off track betting parlors around the Kentucky Derby and all, everybody going to place their bets at the off track. But sports betting just came in like a lion. And you named so many forms of gambling that we had. And this is very recently. This is only in the last couple of years. Is this really just taken over?
No doubt about it. And you know, some answers say, well, but we have diversified. Look at the Mississippi River and all these chemical plants, which is a resource for us to some degree. But so many of those plants are becoming mechanized now. And now with artificial intelligence, I mean, somebody running a computer program in New York City is going to control how the whole operation of the chemical plants, from the making of the chemicals to the trucks coming in, all done, all mechanized, the railroad trucks coming in. So we don't get a lot of jobs like perhaps they did, and the construction jobs. We don't get a lot of that anymore like we used to do. So there's one offside with it. And, Ron, here's a quote from Lia Noor is a professor and director of the Center for Gambling Studies at Rutgers University, cites, gambling is a very different addiction from drugs or alcohol. If I'm drunk or high, at some point my family is going to figure it out. With gambling, I could be sitting there with my kids, watching cartoons, and gambling away my house, my car, everything I own on my mobile phone. How would you know?
So that's sad.
You know, it's horrible, terribly sad. And so, and I was at lunch yesterday with several attorneys, and we got talking about that, and they gave me stories of particularly small businessmen who have a cash business. And so at the end of the day, they've worked hard in the morning, and they open up the cash registers. They got a lot of cash they have and not much going on. Hey, let's go to the casino. And they tell terrible stories of bankruptcy of folks like that. And
well, Jim, every time you read in the paper about some very community-oriented person working at a bank, working at a big company, and all of a sudden they've embezzled a large amount of money, it's usually traced to a gambling addiction. Everybody's shocked. This person, I can't believe this person did this, you know, stole from the church fund or stole from their some, you know, community organization they're part of, alumni association, you know. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe they did this. It's because then you go, oh, they had a gambling addiction, to your point. And they always think they're going to win it back and put it back before anyone finds out. And they just get in this cycle, and it's just tragic.
Well, I think before the show started, you brought up Karen Peterson, the chairman of the Democratic Party in Louisiana, a prominent state senator operating in New Orleans. She's now sitting in a federal prison because she misappropriated funds from the Democratic Party and her campaign fund, and all because of a gambling addiction. She said it was just a complete addiction. She paid it back, but still going to be in jail. Ruined her career, ruined her life. She's
ran for Congress. She had a right. Her father was a very popular New Orleans politician, and you're right. It just is tragic what happens when that. And she was she brought something to mind I didn't know about at the time, but we've heard it through her case, and that is a law in Louisiana where you can put yourself on a list where you're admitting up front that you have a gambling addiction and that you're saying you won't go into a casino. And if you are seen in a casino, you understand that means you'll be arrested automatically. And she even entered that, which you would think someone as high profile as she was, that's really putting, you know, a barrier there. And she fell off the wagon and goes in there and gambles away. And
the Ron, I'll tell you what, one visual really hit home to me. I had to meet a fellow in downtown Baton Rouge adjoining one of the large casinos down there. Well, I was early, going to meet him, I think, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got there about 4:30, 20 till 5, so I had some time to kill. So I sat there and read my newspaper, and it was a Friday afternoon, and all of a sudden the casino parking lot filled up, and I watched person after person get out of the car. They, in many, many instances, had on work clothes, their name on the over, where they were blue-collar workers. And what was so interesting about that, it was Friday afternoon. They'd gotten paid. So instead of going home to deal with their children, do something special, they had that check, and they're heading to the casino. And of course, the casino is very willing to cash the checks. And millions and millions of dollars lost that way to people that were obsessed, that didn't spend it on their family, didn't spend it on books for their kids, spent it at the casino when they had no business doing so. And I sat there and watched that, and it really indented into my mind, what a terrible waste to see this going on.
Yeah, and I don't know what you do about it, because I do think here especially it's part of the culture. We're a state that relies heavily on the tourism industry, and casinos provide a form of entertainment for visitors as well as the locals. But a lot of people who go to a convention or go, you know, on a vacation somewhere like to have that. And, of course, they must hopefully set aside however much they can afford to gamble. But for the communities that have the people that go every day and every week and on payday, it's a dangerous situation.
Ron, I was very close to Walker Percy, who was the premier Catholic novelist in America, one of the great writers out of Louisiana, buried over in Covington. I go by once or twice a year to pay my respects to Dr. Percy. He was a psychiatrist, and I really had a special bond with him because he got me interested in writing. He was at the University of North Carolina, editor of the newspaper, and I followed his path and wrote for the local paper. And we stayed in touch over the years. Let me tell you what he said about Louisiana. He said, quote, "Its marshes have been plundered and polluted, one of the highest cancer rates in the country, the loss of 50 square miles of wetland yearly, 50 square miles. He went on to lament that Louisiana should be much more than what he decried as a slightly sleazy playground for tourists and conventioners."
Yeah.
Now, here's a very bright guy who's from our state and passed away in Covington. And that was his view of what our state has become. And, of course, gambling certainly plays into that view. And let me tell you about another novelist, James Lee Burke, who's one of our really solid novelists, written over 40 novels from New Iberia. And I've read most of his novels. I love James Lee Burke. He said, quote, "I also believe that my home state is cursed by ignorance and poverty and racism, much of it deliberately inculcated to control a vulnerable electorate. And I believe many of the politicians in Louisiana are among the most stomach-churning examples of white trash and veniality that I have ever known. To me, the facts that large numbers of people find this humorously picturesque in mind is numbing to me, on a level with telling fond tales of one's rapist."
Oh, gosh.
Now, these are two of the most brilliant, popular novelists in history of the state. James Lee Burke's still here with us now. And this is their view of Louisiana. And, of course, gambling plays into all those. Are tough comments. And so, in any event, and I'll say this, Ron, as we kind of roll down this segment, we have an election coming up here in Louisiana for governor, for other statewide officials, for the entire legislature, for sheriffs and local officials. And it's coming up in a matter of about 5 months, 6 months. It's just right around the corner. And so if there's ever a time to mark your involvement, this is it. We had an election for state legislature that passes laws that directly affect your lives. It was in New Orleans 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe. The turnout was 6%.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, you got to recall that half of our voters are not even registered to vote. So that 6% means that 3% of the district cared enough to go pull a lever to vote for the person that's, you know, it controls your lives. The legislature passes laws from the time you're born, when you're asked to have a birth certificate, you're mandated to go to school, you're mandated when you can drive in this state, you're mandated in all kinds of ways. You can't get a job without a state certificate. Those legislators do a great deal of controlling your lives, and we had 3% of the people even care enough to go vote in the election. So,
well, similarly, I was thinking Baton Rouge didn't do well, but now I'm feeling like we did really well because we had a whopping 13% turnout.
Oh, big.
We had some school taxes, which probably means they leaned on the school employees because they were for operations to make sure they went and voted here, and a judgeship. And, of course, yes, the legislators passed the laws, but who's enforcing those laws but judges? And we could only get 13% to turn out there. So that's
if you have not voted in the last few elections, then when this podcast ends, go into your bedroom or bathroom and look into the mirror, and you'll see what the problem is in Louisiana. You'll see what a big part of the problem is, not paying attention. And we've got an open race for governor. There's going to be a brand new, there's an open race for insurance commissioner. We've got very hotly contested races for secretary of state. And
our treasurer is running for governor. So you'll have a seat there that'll be open.
Very important office in terms of managing our money. So, and then a big turnover in legislature because of term limits. So it's a critical time. It's a crossroads, quite frankly. We're at a crossroads, and otherwise we're going to just fall into the abyss that James Lee Burke and Walker Percy talked about, and we're going to rely on gambling and say, well, that's just how it happens in Louisiana. It just that's just the way it rolls. So we don't want that. I don't want that. Rana, you don't want that. And I hope that most of our listeners, that all of our listeners don't want that too. So we'll talk about it some more. And don't want to leave on too sad of a note. Go to our website, DatelineLouisiana.com. You'll see this podcast, plus lots of other podcasts there that you can listen to. And also you can learn about what we do in terms of writing books. Rana and I are both prolific writers. JimBrownLA.com. You'll see new columns up right there that we put up every week. And Rana's books are there and her website's there. So take a look at that website.
And I want to remind our listeners, too, we love to hear from you. And you can email us at Huey@DatelineLouisiana.com, Huey@DatelineLouisiana.com. We get emails from listeners of the podcast. Love to hear from you. I want to especially give a shout out to Mark from Vicksburg, who emailed us about enjoying the podcast. And Jim, you and I talked a few weeks ago about heroes and how we feel about needing some heroes every now and then, and he was commenting on that. So, Mark, take care of yourself up there in Vicksburg and keep listening and let us hear from you again.
And since my hero was Roy Rogers, we'll end this podcast by saying happy trails to you.
There you go.
You folks have a good week. We'll talk to you next week here on the Dateline Louisiana radio program, DatelineLouisiana.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Dateline Louisiana with Jim Brown and Rana Gray. To subscribe to this podcast or contact Jim or Rana, visit DatelineLouisiana.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for more news and reflections from the Bayou State.